Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my very special guest is Ashira. Ashira is a dear friend of mine. I've known her in more than one lifetime. She has a background in this incarnation, in theater, in music. She's an extremely multi-talented lady, has had a lifetime of experiences, a mystical sense, and an ET sense. Members of the Cosmic Switchboard will find out. She will describe a lot of experiences she's had that have a time travel element to it. So we're going to get into all of that. And we're in an age now where there's a lot of people who are wannabes that they claim to be, oh, I'm, you know, from this ancient lineage of star line people. And I remember back in the 80s when being a Palladian hybrid was the in thing because of Barbara Marciniak's books. But this much I'll say. My dear friend Ashira is a lioness. She is someone who is an absolute 100% leonine feline hybrid. And I'm proud to have her as my friend and confidant and spiritual warrior colleague. So without any further ado, Ashira, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Thanks, James. Yeah, it's a little overwhelming to be here, actually. It's kind of... I didn't think I'd ever be talking about this kind of stuff, actually.
Well, if you're going to talk about this stuff, you might as well do it on this show. Well, for the benefit of our listening audience, Ashira, tell us a bit about your background and your childhood, because so much of who you are today, a lot of that was formulated, a lot of that was put into place as a young girl growing up in the East Coast.
I would have to say something that I notice about myself that other people don't seem to be able to recall is I can remember things from being days old. I can remember a lot of my infancy. And I remember having very sophisticated thoughts as an infant because I still remember that. Still remember what I was thinking, and my mother will say that you couldn't possibly know that, or we didn't even, I said, well, no, I remember being in my crib and looking over and seeing you and my father, and she said, no, that's not even possible. You weren't even in the bedroom with us, and I said, well, I must have been, the day I came home from the hospital. I vividly remember that. And I thought, my God, I really remember that far back. Then growing up, I noticed things, like I would see shadows out of the corner of my eye. And I would, see like lights kind of flicker or flash. And I really wasn't sure, is that normal? Or you don't really know, I guess, when you're a kid. I would have these moments. And this is before I remember seeing anything, actually, before I remember seeing the shadows of the corner of the eye or the flashes of light. My very first kind of psychic or mystical, or my gosh, I'm not quite sure what experience this was. And it was between, I would say, 3 and 5 years old. I would be in the bathroom, was looking in the mirror and suddenly have this really disconnected feeling, like I was being pulled or lifted up, and I wouldn't even see myself anymore. Things would either go black, or I'd remember vividly one time I was like up in space. I went from looking at myself to suddenly just seeing the Earth from outer space and still feeling like I was being lifted and pulled away. And then suddenly my consciousness would come back to looking at myself in the mirror and not recognizing my face. I would look down at my hand and say, what is this? Is this mine? And I remember too, when I was lifted up and I was in space, I remember looking at Earth and going, oh yeah, I kind of remember that place. But I was struggling to remember it at the same time. Yeah, and when I would come back to my body, I would be completely disoriented for a couple minutes. It felt very foreign to me to be in a human form. But I couldn't remember anything that happened during these experiences, and I didn't know how long they were for. Nobody seemed to think I was missing. It wasn't like my mom was looking for me. It wasn't like I had passed out. I wasn't laying on the floor. I was always just standing there in the same place that I had been. And this happened frequently, and I didn't like it anymore. The last time it happened, I was 9. And mind you, this only happened when I looked in the mirror and looked into my own eyes. Uh-huh. Honestly, if anybody can actually tell me what was happening, I am very rational, and I'm very logical, and I don't struggle with, you know, what's real and what's not. So that feeling of being pulled and lifted away from my body this time when I was 9, I fought it. And I said, no, I don't like this. I don't want to do this again. I don't like it. And I turned and looked to my right for some reason. I felt myself coming back, you know, and I was fighting to stay in my body. And then I looked over to the right, and I saw this, I mean, it was a full-bodied apparition of some kind of ET. And it was small. It was standing on the stairs. It was small, but it didn't look like a gray. And I could tell it was juvenile. I knew that. And it was really sad. It was very sad. And I think it was a guy. I think it was male. I'm not really sure. But it was sad because, you know, it was looking at me like, but this is the last time we're going to see each other. It moved backwards. It moved into the woodwork of the wall and just disappeared.
And that was the last time you saw that particular being?
That was the last time I saw that being. It was the only time I remembered seeing it. Like I said, when I was taken from my body, when I looked in the mirror, I don't know where I was going. I don't know what was, you know, done to me. I don't know if, you know, it could have been anything. It could have been, you know, ETs that I knew, or it could have been an abduction. You know, somebody who was interested in me. I couldn't say. I don't know. I've never been, you know, kind of hypnotized. I don't even think I can be hypnotized, but if I were to relax and go back, I wonder if I would get any kind of information. I don't like to think about it much. Uh-huh. But I was able to stand my ground at 9 years old, and I did not feel harmed, but I also didn't feel, you know, any kind of connection. I didn't think I was special. I just thought, my God, what is this? And I don't really think I like it. And I never saw that being again. I remember as a child, my father was a physicist, actually. And we would sit on the porch at night, and he would try to get me to calm down and go to bed. And he would tell me about the stars, and we'd look at the stars, and he'd tell me about the speed of light and how when we look at the sun's light, we're actually looking back in time because that light had already happened, you know, where the sun was. And he got me really, really early on thinking about time travel, honestly. And I would look up, and he showed me some constellations, but the only one I could ever pick out was Orion. And I have to say, Orion terrified me. I felt like he was watching me. Didn't like him. I did not. And I would almost have that creepy feeling sometimes at night where I felt like I was being watched, and I would, you know, turn around and look up and go, oh God, there's Orion's belt. Yet I would look off to the Pleiades and think, I really wanted to see it clearly with my, you know, naked eye kind of a thing. And so I was always looking in that direction. Kind of odd little things. I think after 9 years old, after I stopped having those strange experiences, that's when I started really, the psychic stuff really started to happen, where I would see the shadows or the lights. I saw a full body apparition in my window one night staring in at me. I mean, I could describe like the dress she was wearing. It was like late 1800s, and it was a houndstooth check. And I mean, it was so detailed, and I could see all the details from across the room and out the window. I could see how detailed she was in the darkness. Only she didn't have eyes or a mouth. There were just these big black kind of spots where that should have been, which was utterly terrifying to see. I remember one night there were these two dark, blobs of darkness, you know, and one was round and one was like long and skinny, and not really skinny, but like long, more oblong. And one was very round, and they were in the corner of the room, and they were kind of undulating. And then they came around to the foot of my bed, and they must have, I don't know how long they were there. And at that time, my sister as well was sharing a room with me. We had bunk beds, and I was on the top. So of course I saw these things. They were staring right at me and floating high up. At some point, she comes and runs and jumps into my bed. And that's when they moved to the foot of the bed now. I didn't know what this stuff was, but it suddenly occurred to me that what we needed to do was hold each other and focus on our love. And somehow I knew that the energy of love and that heightened vibration would get rid of them. And it did. Nobody told me these things. A lot of these things, I just did. I don't know where it came from. There was one time I saw a body, a person, you know, it had legs, it was a figure, but there was this bright light all around it. I mean, it was like red and yellow, and I saw it walk into my sister's room. I'm in the living room watching TV, and I can hear my mom in the kitchen washing dishes, and I thought she had stopped washing dishes and went down the hallway, walked into my sister's room. And so I jump up and run into the bedroom thinking, wow, I just saw your aura. And by the time I get to the center of the room, I realize I'm in there alone. And I ran back out, and I looked at my mom, was still in the kitchen. And I think that's a time where I was really scared. And I thought, okay, something's going on here. And I don't think this happens to everybody.
Yeah, there comes a point in time when, this was the case with me, you've had so many as a child unusual experiences, and we tend to put them on the back burner because we don't have a context for it, at least consciously, right? We know mm-hmm. they happen. We know it's real to us, and you know, we may be hesitant to talk to it about others, but we know that it's around us. I felt as a young boy at times I was being watched, and it wasn't a necessarily malevolent presence that watched me. I just had a feeling, something is around watching me again. I just continued playing. And I drew a distinction between what was watching me during the day and what used to like mess with me at night. You know, I was very night phobic. I tried to sleep with the lights on, and I set up all these booby traps in my bedroom, like yarn and toys, you know, to trip any intruders up or to bonk them on the head to come swinging down on a string or something, you know, a toy. Nice. So I knew that there were presences around. So it sounds like you went through a similar experience.
Yeah. But they were also random. You know, it wasn't kind of like the same boogeyman's coming every single night for me.
Yeah.
It was always random in the timing and then the way it was. And I thought, it all seemed very disconnected to me, and I could never really say, oh, I feel like I'm haunted, you know, or I feel like the house is haunted. I didn't feel really like that until I got to be an early teenager, and I knew I never wanted to shower upstairs at night. And finally, I felt like there was a man staring at me, an angry man. Then at some point, I think my sister said the same thing to me. She said, just come upstairs with me when I shower. And I'm like, why? And she goes, I feel like there's a man staring at me. And I was like, oh my God. So actually, I guess the cool thing about it is that my sister and I, before we saw those dark undulating shadow things, I didn't think that she had experiences. Then I knew after that, because we both saw them and then we both felt the man, you know, we were starting to have similar experiences. And I think that may have been part of what really helped me validate the fact that, okay, you know, I've never thought I'm crazy, but now I know I'm not. I mean, she saw it, I saw it. I saw it, she saw it. You know, she felt that way, I felt that way. If two of us are feeling this way, we're not having some kind of hallucination together.
Yes.
I don't really buy into that, you know, a group hallucination. I don't buy into that. Never. That takes me up to the summer of 1986. And that was apparently a year where the veil was very thin between worlds, so I've heard. I had an incredible amount of experiences. I think that's when things got more of an attacking kind of nature, too. Like, that's when real negative entities started to kind of come in and out, and that's when I started to get scared of it.
What were some of the experiences that stick out?
I would have dreams and then also kind of reoccurring visions and thoughts. Like it felt real. I felt like this person was not even there in my dreams, but also in my reality. I could still feel him. It was like a man that was chasing me and chasing me through time. There was one where I had this dream and a vision all at once. It was kind of like I had this scary dream, but when I woke up, I had the vision, like I had some kind of recollection of a life in France as a singer, but on a little stage that I think there were, you know, probably I don't know what, you know, Moulin Rouge type girls. But I don't remember being like them. I actually remember being very tall and having long red hair. And it, which is absolutely bizarre because I am so very short right now. But I remember one vision I had, I guess, that he showed me was that he was stalking me. He was somebody who would come to see me sing, and I was terrified of him. And I did have somebody escorting me, and I remember walking through, you know, the crowded cobblestone streets and looking over my shoulder, and knowing this man was following me. So I had another dream that summer. I was riding my bike through a certain area of where I lived, and it looked completely different. I mean, there were like it, this was a an area that was just overgrown and with, you know, like the natural bushes and everything that would have been there, what was there originally. They hadn't built on this lot at all. And oddly enough, this lot from, well, I to explain it, I guess I grew up on a barrier island, so it was very narrow. So all the way from the beach straight on across the island to the bay was a single lot owned by a certain family. And there was a house on the beach, very big one. And then a house on the bay, and everything in between was kept wild. So at that time in 1986, it was still like that. But I had a dream that there were tennis courts there, and hedges and bushes. Everything looked very nice and neat and groomed, and homes and things like that. And I was riding my bike in this dream. And I went into the tennis court, and suddenly that man was there. But I never get to really see him. His face is always blocked out. And he kind of grabbed me from behind. He pulled me up to him, and he whispered in my ear, and it was like a really angry whisper. And he said that he had waited 700 years for this moment. Like he was going to get me. He'd waited 700 years in something. Gosh, what? I can't remember. He waited 700 years in the something to get back to me, to get to me. Still don't know who that is.
And this implied threat is what it sounds like to me. Either it was, and I'm guessing maybe a threat of some kind of violence or a threat of repossession, if you will, or what was the feeling you got? What was he trying to accomplish?
Yeah, I would think so. I would think it may have been possibly past life witchcraft, possibly some kind of contract, possibly that I had, you know, wiggled myself out of in one way of another, or, you know, because a dream I had following that, I was in my own bedroom. And I was being attacked by everything in my room. I was trying to get out of the room. It was getting very, very hot in the room. And there was this, you know, this toy bear that came growling at me, and everything in my room was just kind of flying at me and trying to stop me from getting out of this room. And I then woke up. For real, woke up, jumped up and ran out of my room, ran into my sister's room and grabbed her, and she shoots up and looks at me out of a dead sleep and goes, "Your room is on fire." And it turned out we were having the same dream at the same time. And I think that's why, you know, and I said, "Well, I had just had this dream that this was happening and that was happening." She goes, "I was standing outside the door watching you being attacked by everything. And then the room went like blew up into flames." And I remember feeling that heat. It was getting hotter and hotter in the room. That just kind of leads me to believe it was something kind of evil.
Yeah, well, it sounds like a big time spiritual warfare attack, psychic attack, like some kind of hex or something was put on you. And while we're on the subject about mystical mm-hmm. stuff, it should be noted, dear listeners, that Ashira, she lived in the East Coast. Can I say kind of like Sopranosville? Is that giving away too much? Or
oh, I don't know. Maybe. No, it's fine.
Okay. Well, somewhere in Sopranosville, okay? She lived in an area, and we still have stories about this coming from that part of the world, where there are strange temporal time slips. There are strange time slips, time anomalies. People will look up and see other people dressed in clothes and, you know, in horse and buggy from another age, another era. And some of that is in your background as well, isn't it, Ashira, where it seemed at a certain point in time, the things that had happened in your past lives, like you pointed out earlier, were starting to merge or catch up with what was going on in your regular life.
Yes, that did happen. That did happen, and it was actually that same year of 1986 when it became personal. And I was also beginning to realize that where I lived, the area I lived, was quite haunted. I don't know why no one ever really talked about it. We didn't have, books in the general store kind of a thing, like, ooh, haunted this or haunted that. It wasn't something anyone spoke of. But there was a battle of the Revolutionary War fought on the beaches there that I didn't know about until much later, until after I had a dream about it, I think. The time slips, though, this particular one was like nothing I had experienced yet. You know, I did see the woman outside of my bedroom window. And mind you, that was at least 10 feet off the ground. There's no way she could have been actually standing there.
Oh, yeah.
She was levitating. And I did see that she was, you know, wearing different clothes. And I was awake. But this was like, it was almost like our timelines met. Like time had looped and touched for, you know, maybe 20 minutes. I mean, it went on for quite some time.
You're talking about where it seemed like two different eras or two different periods in time kind of merged.
Yes.
And were you like, you know, the young woman in that era, or did you kind of slip back and forth between you and maybe a previous you from that other time period?
My consciousness stayed with me in my body, but it was almost, you know how in The Shining where the guy's just walking down the hall and he starts to hear some music and some sounds. And so he starts to go towards that place. And when he opens up the ballroom, there's a whole party going on.
Yeah.
It was kind of like that.
Really?
Yeah. But I hadn't seen The Shining at this point. I was babysitting with my sister. And we were actually on that lot that I told you about. We were in the house up on the beach. And that we were watching a baby. Well, while the baby was in the bed, for some reason, we said to each other, let's go run up to the gazebo up at the beach and look at the water and look at the moon for a minute.
And when, so you were, when you were supposed to be watching the baby.
When we were supposed to be watching a baby. Okay, now here's the thing. Thoughts were kind of just going into our heads for no reason. Uh-huh. Things that were, when you look back on it, you're like, my God, who would leave a baby in a house alone, right?
Yeah.
We wouldn't do that. But we both were just overcome with this, let's go up to the beach and look at the moon kind of a thing in the water. And off we went. And we ran out the back door and around the pool and up the pathway into this gazebo. And the pool that was, from the time I can remember being a kid, because we used to kind of run and cut through that yard just to do it. It was never full of water. It was always like, you know, a breeding ground for mosquitoes. It was always like the water was like low in the bottom of this gigantic, like round, deep pool. And it was always like green water and there were ducks in there. And
yeah,
it was always like this nasty pool. And so we ran around the whole nasty pool and up there and we're just standing there. Just kind of staring at the moon, staring at the water, the beach. And then, you know, almost trance-like. And I say out loud for no reason. Or was it, let me see. No, I think my sister suddenly snapped out of it and she goes, oh my gosh, I have to go check on the baby. And she takes off. And I look out at the water again, and I look back to see her running. And I'm thinking, okay, well, she's running because, you know, she wants to get back to the baby. But then I look out at the water again, and I start to feel something around me. And I said, yeah, there are a lot of memories here. What? I was 15. A lot of memories here. And then suddenly I heard glasses clinking. I heard, you know, chit chat. I felt like someone was glaring at me. I mean, mad. This guy, he was glaring at me. And I turned around and looked, and in the moonlight, I saw people elegantly dressed. I mean, like the outlines of people, and they, you know, they had drinks like champagne in their hands, and there was all this clinking and chitty chatty, and just it looked like this beautiful, elegant party. And I was like, wow. But then I could tell that he was behind them, but I couldn't see him, but I could feel him. He was very upset with me for being there, and I shouldn't be there. And I thought, oh, I better go. I better go find my sister now. And I took off. I walked out. And then I felt like he was following me. And so I walked a little quicker and a little quicker. And I could feel his energy really rushing up behind me. And I thought, my God. And then I took off running. And I got to the gate where the pool area was. And I thought, oh, actually, I forgot. I had had a thought before I got there. I thought, I better be careful around that the diving board of the pool, because I immediately turned around while I saw my sister running and thought, I hope she doesn't trip over the diving board of the pool. And I see her head disappear. And then come back up again and keep running. And that's when I felt comfortable enough to say there were a lot of memories here. And so now I'm running. And I just think, okay, well, I'm safe now. But as soon as I got to that gate, I saw this flash of light. I saw an image of a man. I knew his name started with either one of three letters, and it was three, and it was kind of strange, or maybe two letters. But there were like, there were three people, but definitely like two letters. And after that, I thought, okay, well, okay, that was the worst of it, right? I think he's gone. I think he's not following me anymore. I got this image of who it was. And I started to kind of slow down. And then I felt like there were people all around me again. I couldn't see them at this point, but I felt it. And I thought, oh, I better run. Oh, don't trip over that diving board. And as I, you know, I went around it, but cut as close as I could, because I just felt these people everywhere. Like I was running through a crowd and I was dodging people. And then the moonlight, out of the corner of my eye, I saw it flash off the top of the water. And I literally just stopped in my tracks and looked down at the pool, and it was filled to the brim with beautiful, clear water. And the moonlight was shining on it. And I just looked and I was like, are you kidding me? The pool is full of water. And at this moment, I was there. And I see a girl standing on the rail, you know, like the ladder of the pool. And she's looking at me, you know, and we kind of like look down, then I'm looking at her, what she's wearing. And then I, you know, she looked like she was in like this old fashioned underwear, kind of like 1800s underwear, but I knew she wasn't from the 1800s, which is strange. And she had, oddly enough, hair, much, I would say much like Louise Brooks, that, you know, that real Egyptian style bob, and this beautiful blue silk, ribbon in her hair, like a headband. But when we met eyes, we both stood there in shock, you know, because she looked like me and I looked like her. And I knew I was there because she saw me and reacted too. And in that moment of shock and looking into each other's eyes, I saw this incredibly bright light. I couldn't see anything else. And I turned my head to look away, and then I looked right back to the railing, and I saw this great light shrink down to where she was and disappeared. It just disappeared into the center of where she had been standing. And I looked back down at the pool, and it was nasty and green in the bottom again. And I started to walk away, then immediately felt like, oh my God, there's people all around me again. I said, not again. I went tearing through the back door, tearing through the house, tearing out the front door, or maybe I was running up the stairs. I heard my sister call, and she, yeah, that's right. I was tearing up the stairs to go back to where I thought she was, where the baby was, but she was on the front porch. And then she sat there and told me a recount of the story that I had just experienced. Only she had done it maybe 2 minutes before I did. And she had seen different people, but she had also seen me in the pool. And she said that she also made eye contact with her and gave her this, oh no, she wasn't in the pool yet. She was like standing by the pool, like about to get in the pool. And she gave her, you know, this disapproving look of, what on earth are you wearing? So it was like whoever she was that looked like me, which could have been me, I suppose, from a past life at that moment. I think it was now. But that means my sister had also been there because that girl recognized her.
Uh-huh.
So we actually did that whole experience together, and I don't think she could ever speak about it again. I couldn't speak about it without shaking and hyperventilating probably for 5 years. When I did finally start to ask some questions about people that may have known the history of the house and the area, I had complete validation that there were two brothers with the name starting with the initials that I had thought of, and that there was trouble between them with a woman, and there was a father who was pretty much a mogul, let's just say, in that area at the time, that my sister had seen. And when I, you know, described what she had described to me, this, oh yeah, that's this guy to a T. So I was able to get full validation, and even down to the party. Oh, they were always having these big parties, and they were always themed parties. Parties where they would dress in different decades.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm like, I said, my God, that even explains why she was wearing this outfit that seemed out of place. It was like scary and a relief at the same time to get that kind of validation where absolutely everything was spot on. But then it raised so many more questions. You know, was that time travel? What was that? You know, what was that really? And who was that? Was that actually me from a past life or somebody random, or could it have been another, you know, timeline altogether?
Yeah, like a parallel reality that just kind of bumped into yours for a moment.
But then later after that, and now we're heading into my 20s at this point, I started to have some dreams about the area, and I had dreamt that, well, I was walking along and it was starting to rain, and I had just hit that street where the property was, where the house was, and but the ground had not been paved over yet, and an arm reached up out of the ground and grabbed my ankle.
Oh, wow.
Out of the soft ground, and I could see that it was a girl's arm, you know, a young girl's arm. And I thought, oh my God, they buried her. They buried her under the road. They killed her.
Oh.
Because, you know, I had always heard, if you see yourself, you're going to die. You know, you see the ghost of yourself, or you see, I don't know, something like, I had heard that somewhere. And I thought, for a while, I thought, my God, I think I just saw myself. I'm going to die. But I don't think I did. But I think she did. I think that was moments before her death. I think that man was very angry at her. And I had also had dreams growing up of green trucks, all kinds of makes and models, but always, it could have been a Mack truck, or an old-fashioned, you know, like 50s or 60s kind of a truck, you know, 40s kind of a truck. But it was always this green, this dark green truck running me over. No matter where I went, where I hid, this truck would come and run me over. And one day when my sister was still babysitting over there, she babysat there like the entire summer of 1986. She said, you got to get over here. And I went, okay. And she said, I found a way into the garage I've been snooping around. My sister was a big snoop. And she was always getting into trouble snooping. But she goes, you got to see this. And I went in there. And there was the green truck.
Oh.
And, I mean, it was still in there. And, you know, the owners didn't live there anymore. None of those people, I don't even know that they were alive at that point. But that truck was still there. And so we dared to get in the truck. And we did. And we opened up the glove box. And we looked at who it belonged to. Actually, hold on, come to think of it. We babysat there also in 1989. And this may have happened in 1989 later. I don't think it was that summer of 86. I think it was 89. And we looked at who the car was registered to. And it was the same names with the same initials that I had gotten back then in that flash when I saw the man chasing me. And that was pretty much it. We were pretty freaked out. I mean, it was such... I mean, who gets that kind of solid 3D hard evidence?
Yes.
I don't know. It was so overwhelming and so profound, and we just kind of like stepped away going, I don't even know what to say. And my sister also had terrifying dreams of having to ride in this truck with this doctor who had very friendly and wandering hands. And she remembered these hands. She talked about these hands, how much she hated that. And then we also found out later that there had been this doctor who was kind of like, you know, Chester the molester.
And that may have tied into the girl's hand coming out of the ground, where he might have done something to her or something.
Yes. Well, later on, now we're talking maybe 10 years later. And I had gone to beauty school. I had pursued acting. And did it, you know, locally, yet professionally, performing, did touring children's theater. I sang in a restaurant. I did some dinner theater. I did some community theater for fun, kind of a thing. And I decided that I didn't want to be on stage anymore. I wanted to be behind the scenes. I loved sewing, and that I was going to learn how to... basically make clothes, be a fashion designer. But as soon as I graduated, I wanted to go straight back to the theater. I thought, I'm going to do costume design. I don't want to go, you know, to New York and in the fashion district. No. I need to go back into the theater. So there is a summer stock theater back where I, you know, my hometown. And I went there. And there was a girl who came to work in the design department too. She was the assistant costume designer. And I was just like, you know, the intern costume designer, just learning how the ropes basically. And I tell you, I thought, wow, what's wrong with this girl? She couldn't stop staring at me. Her mouth was like jaw drop, you know, like her eyes were giant. She just kept like, neurotically nodding at me and repeating herself in threes. And I thought, God, I got to work with this lady all summer. What's it was wrong with her? Well, we started to get haunted. of course, every theater is haunted. And this theater was haunted by the guy who started the theater back in the 1950s. But we didn't feel like this was the same guy. And everybody in the theater in different departments at different times of day started to see this man. We called him the Dark Man. He wore a fedora and he had on a suit and he had these wingtip shoes. And I had seen parts and pieces of him, and some people had seen him full bodied, and he would come right into the costume shop and he wouldn't like the music we were playing, and he would just shut off our music. He would only keep it on if we were playing music from the 1940s. That was the only stuff we could play that wouldn't get shut off. You know, things, all kinds of things happened. My hair was being pulled and stood on end. We saw orbs dancing around us, things coming off of really high shelves, levitating before they dropped to the ground. My papers, I was reading a new script and all the papers started blowing all over the place. I mean, it was like, we should have filmed this. It would have made a great movie. This stuff you see in the movies, you know, you're like, are you kidding me? It turned out this girl and I, we started to, she knew how to use a pendulum. And we started to do that. We kind of realized that we had known each other from a past life. And this man was actually, she called him the old man, then and now. He was the man of that house. The man who threw all the parties. The man who had the two sons that had a feud over a woman. And at one point, we had started doing regressions. And this time alone, I think I was alone. But I had remembered, or maybe I was with her. I can't really remember. I just remember the regression. You were supposed to let yourself relax and then start to see a bunch of kind of bubbles, you know? I guess anybody could try this. I don't know. I don't think that I'm really special. I think anyone can do this if they relax. You see all these kind of bubbles coming to you, and all you have to do is choose one. When you walk into the bubble, you'll see a past life. You'll be somewhere else. And I walked into this bubble and I looked up and all I saw was the sky. I saw clouds and the ground was hard. I was laying on the ground. And then I felt two men run up to me and I heard one of them say, "My God, she's not moving." And I looked over and I saw the men and I saw the green truck and I saw the driveway. It was a rounded driveway. It was very definitive. I saw the house and I went, "Oh my God, they killed her. They ran her over. They hit her with the car and then they buried her and paved her over on the street."
And that was the girl who was reaching up to you through mm-hmm. the soft ground.
Yes.
Well, we reached the end of a fascinating first segment with our special guest, Ashira, and we're just getting started. We're going to have Ashira's bio information, and it means to contact her if you have any questions. This is the Cosmic Switchboard Show. If you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up, and become a member. We'll see you at the top of the next segment for the members section. So we'll be right back, Ashira.
Okay, great.